of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shot and follow-up. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero.
That's called a serious header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma. Strepitosa in questa lì.
Fabregas, it's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks for Xavi. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice. And not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And oh!
Jack Wilshere to Zola, Giroud again, Jack Wilshere, it's stunning from Arsenal.
Bradley swings it in invitingly, oh my word, it's gone straight in, it's Bradley.
Welcome to Season 5 of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight, we got Frederick in the studio. We got Liverpool Logan on the phone. Unfortunately, Joe can't be here tonight, but we'll talk enough Serie A to keep him happy. So, guys, as usual, you can reach us on our website, footballweekly.com, football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, and we've recently been added onto iHeartRadio. So if you're an iHeartRadio listener, subscriber, or if that's your favorite podcast player, we're definitely there. You can look for us there. Search Football Weekly. We'll pop up. You can also get us on Google Podcasts as well. So there's lots of different ways you can reach our podcast and listen to us talk about the beautiful game. We're coming off a fantastic World Cup. If you haven't heard any of our World Cup shows, go back and listen to those. But definitely the EPL starting, definitely Serie A starting, La Liga, all these leagues are starting, and we have definitely opinions on everything that's happening. So guys, as usual, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
How you doing? I'm Carmen Sackle from York University, and you're listening to Football Weekly Podcast with Reg and Joe.
Another season of the Football Weekly Podcast is upon us. Season 4, guys. Actually, season 5.
Yep.
Season 5 of the Football Weekly Podcast. Joe won't be with us tonight. He had a prior engagement, but we've been slacking for the last 3 weeks, so we had to do something. We got Logan on the phone. Liverpool Logan, say hi to the people.
How you doing, boys? How you doing, Reg? We gotta do this. I mean, Liverpool's top of the table.
Of course, we have to talk about that, right? Because it's unbelievable. But
it only took me 30 seconds, Reg.
Less than that, Logan. It was less than that. Believe me. We got Fred in the studio beside me.
What's up, everybody?
And this is gonna be a pretty jam-packed show. We have 3 weeks worth of European football to talk about. I don't even know if we're gonna be able to get to any of the other leagues other than the Premier League, because we have to get into this, because my squad, which is Arsenal, isn't playing the way I thought they would be. Now, as Fred and I were discussing before the podcast started, I know we have a new coach and we're not expecting to win the league. Let's get that out of the way first. We're not expecting to win the league. We're expecting... Well, I know you're laughing, but I'm telling you the rational Arsenal fan expectations for this season is to finish in the top four, which is going to be tough the way that started, but finishing in the top four and seeing Unai Emery's vision of what he wants this Arsenal team to be going forward. That was it for me. I know there's people out there that Arsenal should win the league the way that he coaches, PSG, Sevilla, blah, 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 blah. We don't have the talent of a PSG. And we don't have the work ethic of a Sevilla. So there has to be something to give there. You agree?
Yeah. Well, look, I hate Arsenal, Reg, and you know, I'll be the first one to say that I hate them. Why? But I will say this:
we have to get into that, though. Why do you hate Arsenal?
No, but you know what? My dad was English. He was from the Midlands.
Yeah.
All he ever heard on the radio growing up as a kid was how great Arsenal was.
They were great.
I guess they were great in the 50s, but you know, he hated them. And I guess it's something, it just kind of, I guess it's a life lesson about what you can do to how you pass hate on to the generation.
Yeah.
He hated Arsenal. I hate Arsenal. having said that, you know, it's the 21st century and we're a little bit more open-minded. I have been to the Emirates a number of times. You're all down on Arsenal right now.
Well, no, we're not
the
down.
The truth is, you shouldn't be down.
No,
because
no, we're
the
not
fact
down.
Is that, you know what? They had two close games against two of the top teams. They played. They were very unlucky against Chelsea. They missed a lot of chances that they should have buried. They looked terrible in the first 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden they should have had about six goals in about 5 minutes.
Right.
And they battled City pretty hard in the opening game of the season. Now, were they great against West Ham? I would say no. But I would say that West Ham has also a team. You'd almost want to put Arsenal and West Ham as the two teams that have been the most unlucky in the first three games of the season. Now, Liverpool's top of the table. Are they the best team in the Premiership? I don't know. It's too early to tell. In two of the three games that they've won, they've been lucky. They were lucky to get 3 points at Crystal Palace. They were lucky to get 3 points against Brighton. It could have been a tie. But the fact is that they've got the points. So we have to say that Liverpool is leading up to being favorites as they were at the beginning of the season.
Well, Logan, I agree. Like my thing with my team is I just don't know why he's not playing the players that he signed. I think Torreira would be doing a good job if he was playing in at least two of the three games that we've played, you know?
But Logan, are you watching Arsenal games?
So, you know what? What I would say, Reg, I am watching Arsenal games, and I'm going to get this wrong, but I can't pronounce the guy's name, but he looks like an absolute
Guendouzi.
Guendouzi. Guendouzi looks an absolute peach of a footballer. This guy spreads the ball like there's no tomorrow. He's a fantastic footballer. I think they got him for £6 million
seven
out of the French league. The guy is
second,
good.
Second division
in the French league.
Too. Like the guy is a, but he represents France at the under 21 level, right?
Yeah.
The guy is a great footballer. To the point, though, Torreira looks like he should be in the squad as well.
But I was
and
just
it's gonna be.
I was just how, gonna
like they gotta drop Xhaka. Xhaka, to me,
Thank
I don't
you.
Even think he's an Arsenal footballer.
Well,
I do not think he's an Arsenal footballer.
Well, wait, okay. Now something I'm gonna throw it back to Fred because he was saying something about Torreira, but I just wanted to add that when Torreira comes into the game, you just see the whole midfield calm down a little bit. It just seems like everything is just, you know, the way it should be when Torreira is playing on the field. And when he comes in the second half, you just feel the team just more calm and more, you know, the movement's more fluid. But I think with, and I know you guys, everyone's hating on Xhaka and Bellerin, and I think Bellerin's played amazing yesterday, but whatever.
Well, Bellerin had an assist, a couple of assists.
He had two assists.
I have him in my fantasy league.
I think he's playing well, but I just think that if you are able to play Xhaka a little bit further up the pitch and have Torreira in behind him, I think Xhaka would be more effective.
It's true.
I think Xhaka stinks. I would never be in my team. I think he was
like
born with a yellow. I think he was born with a yellow card in his hand. He's not good enough.
No,
he's not good enough.
He's not good enough in the position he's playing. But I think, if he's playing further up the field, I think he's better.
Yeah, like if they put him more in an attacking role, I think his style of play would change. I just don't know why we don't use him in that area of the field because we are struggling in those areas of the field. Anyway, if Ramsey's not there, nobody really support the strikers. You know what I mean? So
that's another guy we got to
try something. You know what I mean? Try something.
How about this? Would Arsenal have more points if Arsene Wenger was the manager right now.
Oh,
and
wow,
in my mind, I think somewhere Arsene Wenger is right now enjoying a cup of tea and a croissant somewhere.
He's in Liberia, by the way. He was given the country's top medal over the weekend. I saw there's a baby there named after him, actually. But
well, I think watching. Well, Fred and I went back down to the Arsenal bar down on St. Clair and Yonge.
Yeah.
And just watching that game, and if you didn't know that the coaches had changed, you would think that you were watching Arsene Wenger team against City.
It's true.
Same formation, same players playing out of position, and you have Lacazette, and you have two of the probably... And I don't care. I'll say it. You have two of the best strikers in the league on your squad, in Lacazette and Aubameyang when they're on, right?
Yep.
Can we say that, Logan?
I you know what? I don't disagree with that, and I know a lot of Arsenal fans are crying for Lacazette and Aubameyang to be in the same team.
Yes.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yes.
But to your point, like, there's no difference between this Arsenal team and what Wenger was churning out last year.
But is it because of the players that Wenger bought and that's what we have? Because he can Emery only changed five guys.
Yeah, right. So play him, right?
What I would say is the expectations of Arsene Wenger and, quite frankly, every team in the Premiership, especially the top teams, the historical top teams, are out of whack with what reality is, okay? 10 years ago, if it was the start of the Premiership, maybe 10 to 12 years ago, the start of the Premiership, it'd be... hold on. I'm gonna rephrase that. 15 to 20 years, the start of the Premiership, it would be between Arsenal and Manchester United.
Okay.
Those were the two teams that realistically could win it,
yep.
Okay? Then come 2005... or 2004 with Abramovich, the money that went into Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, it's not only going to be Arsenal or Manchester United, it's going to be Chelsea.
Yep.
Then, you know, fast forward, you know, the Liverpool teams that won the Champions League under Benitez, they were in the mix. So you have four teams. Yeah. Then you have the Tottenhams have grown.
The oil money, you know, coming to the city.
You have more money going into all these different clubs. So you realistically have five or six teams that are title challengers. And then you have these fringe clubs that, you know, what we saw a few years ago with Leicester.
Yep.
That can believe. So, like, you know, right now you got Watford after three games. Looking like they're a formidable outfit.
Yeah, but they did that. I think it was the last season of the year or the season before that, and it was like, oh my god, they're gonna do what Leicester did after eight games. They had lost maybe two, and or tied two, and we were looking at another Watford is gonna be the new Leicester, and then look where they ended up. It's early days.
No. It's early days, Reg. I completely agree. I'm not suggesting that.
No, but I hear
Watford's
everywhere.
Going to be there.
I hear it
All
everywhere.
I'm saying is that the reason why we love the Premiership is it's grown from a two horse race into being a five or six horse race.
I think six is probably where it's at right now.
Yeah, I agree. And what you have, though, is even outside of the top six, you know, like, I think Everton has invested wisely. I think they've got a very good manager. They've played very well over the course of the three games.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, Reg, it's been three games.
Yeah.
And that's why, as a Liverpool fan, do I like what I see? I think this is the best Liverpool squad I've seen in a long time. They're organized defensively. They have a goalie. And they have depth of squad. Is it going to be enough to win the Premiership? I don't know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
What we won't... It's three games. What I would say is we won't see where things... What's what until where we land probably around Christmas time, which is usually where we've separated the wheat from the chaff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, you know, people are writing off Arsenal. Arsenal's got a talented squad. They've got a decent goalkeeper who's being maligned right now, and maybe is a little bit long in the tooth, and maybe they need to make a change in that. But they've got a better back four than they've had before. They got two good fullbacks. They've got a decent midfield, and they've got good strikers. They have depth of squad, okay? So what I would say is that we're not going to know anything until we get that midpoint of the season. The Christmas season usually separates the lead pack, is what I would say. Yeah. You know, people are writing off Man United, Mourinho's unhappy, this and that. That's a huge game tomorrow between Man United and Tottenham. We'll see what happens between the two squads.
Yeah. That's actually a huge game for both.
Huge game.
That's at Tottenham?
Yes, it's at Tottenham. It's at Wembley. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a marker, right?
Well, Chelsea was lucky today. I mean, you know, if you watch any, I mean, the first 75 minutes of the Newcastle Chelsea game was terrible. I think I think Jorginho had more passes than the entire Newcastle squad. But in the end, like, Chelsea were a little bit lucky to come away with the 3 points.
Well, we were talking about that before we went on as well, and it was Frederick said the same thing. The first 80 minutes of the game was disgusting.
And then
it was terrible.
Three goals in like what was it? Five minutes?
Well, it was like the last 10-15 minutes when all the action came, pretty much.
And a controversial penalty.
I was going to pose this question to you.
Yeah.
This was a perfect example of a game that might have benefited from VAR.
It's true. No, you're absolutely right, because that penalty that they gave, to me, no. And then Newcastle tying that game, to me, also suspect, because it was clear an elbow in Giroud's face, but with the height difference, I guess nobody catch it, so then the goal stands.
Okay, Freddie, I agree with you. I think you're right. The only thing I would say, just to play devil's advocate, and I think that it wasn't Newcastle were a little bit hard done by on the penalty.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think Giroud probably was fouled, and if I was Giroud, I would be complaining as well. But the only thing I would say is that Yedlin's 5'8". Mm. Olivier Giroud is 6'4". You know, I would say that I'm about 5'8", and Reggie's about 6'4". You know, if I put my elbow in Reggie's face, I doubt that Reggie would react in the same criminal way that Olivier Giroud did. That's why I think the ref, the linesman, didn't flag it. Was it a foul? Probably yes. Yeah.
And so why isn't it called? Just because he's bigger? It's a foul.
I don't know. I think he went down too easy. You know what? Giroud annoys me because he was the first guy complaining. I really like him as a striker. I think he's very underrated. I think he's a great striker. I think he deserves more minutes. Definitely should have been out there today before Morata. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very underrated striker. I don't know why Arsenal would ever let him go. I didn't think he got a fair shake there, because he was always come up trumps. He had very good games against even Liverpool. What I would say is this, you know, today, like in the World Cup final, he was protesting that penalty. He wanted a penalty on the controversial one.
Yeah.
He was the first guy protesting today when Alonso went down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then he's acting like he's being shot and clipped in the nose. And you know what? If you watch the replay, Yedlin did move his elbow towards him. Yeah. But as I said again, if Logan Purdy does that to Reggie, Reggie gets on with the game, and there's no way, unless a goal is scored, Reggie goes complaining to the ref. And it's probably the way that Giroud went down cost the call.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
even the linesman didn't flag, and it was more the linesman's call than the referee.
And it was right in front of him too, actually. You're correct. He kind of went down a little pretty easy. And that's one of the things I don't like some of these players doing. It's like, come on, stay on your feet, play the game, and let the refs call the call as they see them. You know what I mean?
Agree. And I would say, Reg, I know you're not a big fan of VAR, but VAR would have been useful today in that game.
Yeah. For what? For what?
Well, it would have been useful. It would have been useful on the penalty. Would have been useful on the elbow. And I'll tell you who else is probably asking for VAR at this point.
Hmm.
Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
Because Wolves scored with a handball and an offside goal.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that too. Hey, but listen, man. The referees are human. It's part of the element of the game. It's to be refed by by someone who can make mistakes. There shouldn't be out there. If you're a professional player, just as you're a professional referee, you should be able to hack it with the linesman. And if you're not good enough, then you have to be removed. I've said this before in the World Cups. We're not going to repeat it again. I don't like the technology aspect. I love technology, but I don't like the technology aspect coming into the game of soccer. I don't want it in it. Like I said before, if it's not 100%, I don't want it.
Fundamentally, yeah. But I got to be frank. That was so bad, the Wolves' goal, VAR would have come in useful in that instance.
But who can see that? The linesman can see that? The referee can't. The referee definitely can't see it.
That's got to be called back. I wanted Wolves to win the game, as you guys can imagine.
Oh, of course.
But that's got to be called back. I mean, that is so bad. Mm. So bad from a failure to see the offside, a failure to see the fact that a handball went into the net. It's got to be called back. And look, I don't want big delays in the game. Mm-hmm. I don't want marginal calls analyzed to death because I think that, that's so blatant that it should come back. And that's where I think VAR should come in.
So where do you draw the line on what you review in the EPL? Like goals only?
So Giroud's call, I don't think I would review that. But something that happens in the box like that where it's a handball, like that's got to be called back.
People will lose their mind. People will lose their mind if you start picking and choosing what you're going to review VAR on. They'll lose their mind and then it's going to turn into shame.
Guys, how can you say that should stand though? Like, I mean,
no, it shouldn't.
That is so bad. I mean, it shouldn't stand. You've got to have something to bring that back.
Yeah, but I don't mind. I'm not arguing with you that it has to be called back. It's just where do you draw the line on what you start using VAR for? And
It's got to come down to...
So just goals then, just goals.
This is my philosophy. What they should do is have referees like that have since retired, like a Graham Poll, like a Howard Webb, guys that have done big games, and let them make the call. You know, let big experienced referees
in a booth
make calls that are... Like the only ones that should be fed up there are blatant calls that can affect the game, and then calls like even yesterday in the trying to think about what game it was, but there was a horrible, horrible tackle that could have been a red card.
It was that, Arsenal. I mean,
that should be reviewed right after the fact.
It was the Arsenal game. It was against Aubameyang.
No, I think it was the Everton game. There was all kinds of controversy in the Everton game that could have went down the VAR.
that game was crazy.
It was crazy. I mean, does Richarlison deserve a red card for that?
Yes.
I don't know.
No, Logan, you can't headbutt the guy. I don't care if you don't wind up and head him and break his nose. That's you still can't do what he did. You can't do it.
No, I don't disagree. I just wish that I think in that situation you just give a red card to both guys.
Oh, you wanted to give a red card to the other guy too?
Yeah, he got it.
Yeah, because just for the fact that guy was goading him.
Oh,
yeah, he got a red card after the fact. Like, you
Logan, I would get red cards every single game if that was the case.
Like, I know, Reg, but you're a dirty player, Reg. Okay.
Okay. It's a strong player, man. Okay. There's a difference.
There's a difference. Strong.
No, you're a great player, but you can push the envelope.
Well, I think Richarlison should have got the red for sure. I didn't see the Bournemouth red. I had to go to work, but was that bad as well?
To me, no. But I think the ref just gave it to make it up because it was the same guy that got the headbutt, right?
So, oh yeah.
If we get 20 minutes later, okay, let's even this thing up. Okay.
Well, there could have even been a penalty for Bournemouth before the ref even gave the second penalty. Like. Yep. Bournemouth, Freddie, you probably, I'm hearing that you're agreeing with me, like, Bournemouth could have had two penalties rather than just the one.
No, I am, and it's just, I don't know, it's crazy how, like, even Everton could let the two goals slip, like, the way they did, but 10 against, 11 for about 20 minutes or so, I guess, that shows, right? They all got tired towards the end, and for some reason, Bournemouth got the next gear, and then they just started pouring it on because they had chances like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
So what do you think will be the top four after three games thus far? Like, who's impressed you thus far? That's what I want to know from you two guys, because
I don't even want to tell
what
me.
I see is I think that Everton look quite good.
I haven't seen Watford play. I want to see them play because I want to know. I want to believe if this is a dream or if it's for real.
Well, I thought Wolves looked great against Man City. I have to give credit to their manager.
Now, tactically, I didn't see the game. Tactically, what did they do? They sat back and hit them on the counter, or what did they do?
No, they went for it.
Man. Did they?
They were playing,
I think, right? They went for it. Yeah. I think there was a little bit of counter, but I agree with Freddie that they went for it.
Which is what I was saying to myself, like, how come Arsenal couldn't do that? Like, you know what I mean? Especially when the game started, right? We kind of caught up into the game when we played them the first game, but Wolf just start right off the bat, right? And that's what I think you should play these teams, you know? You give them the respect, but go for it. Yeah. Don't give them the respect by just sitting back.
Don't play scared. Yeah, play. You know,
I think this is such a wide open Premiership. I can't pick a winner. I know that people want to put Man City and Liverpool at the top, but I think a lot of these teams are so difficult to beat, and it's going to be a fantastic season.
Well, it's tough for the top teams, like you said right now, City and Liverpool. It's tough for you guys because you're going to get everyone's best game.
Yeah, right.
It's not. Oh, we're going into Chelsea. Chelsea's not doing so well. You know, we can probably beat. You're going to get everyone's best game, just like City's going to get everyone's best game, except in the first game, I think. But anyways, so it's going to be tough for Liverpool because or City or whoever's in third place. Well, it's Watford, but. Whoever's in fourth place as well, because you're going to get the best from Tottenham United, you're going to get the best from Everton, you're going to get the best from Bournemouth, and those teams aren't slouch. And we've talked about this in previous podcast episodes. I think the EPL, and we said it a little bit in the beginning of this episode as well, six teams deep, I think it could even go 10.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what I think are really top teams are, okay, you know, you put Man City, say we were to rank them, the three of us.
Okay.
And I think I would go Man City, Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea.
Okay.
Tottenham, Arsenal. Oh,
man. You put Tottenham ahead of Arsenal. You did it on purpose, too.
Well, I don't know. I would say that there's not much difference between them. I'll be frank. There's not much difference between them. Then you'd have to say, like, you know, Burnley's a team that's qualified for Europe, but let's put them aside for now.
Okay.
You've got Everton, which I think have brought in a great manager.
Right.
I think he's a very good manager.
Right.
For this type of team, they've made some big investments mm-hmm. that have looked quite good at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They're going off a base from Koeman that things didn't work out for him, but he did bring in some decent players.
Right.
You've got so I would say Everton's in the mix. You've got Watford. I think the Crystal Palace team's a better team than what people would give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's just like I thought West Ham would be better than what their record showed at this point.
Yeah, they should be, right?
With a coach like Pellegrini, with some of the investments that they've made. Now,
Felipe Anderson looked amazing yesterday.
Yeah, he looked amazing. And they were very unlucky because Arnautovic had a chance to make it 2-1 at 1-1. Mm-hmm. And he flubbed his lines. He got injured. Could have been 2-1 to West Ham. And then all of a sudden, Arsenal would have been chasing the game.
Well, I think
Ham struggled. I mean, they got beat 4-0 by Liverpool on opening day.
Yeah.
That's a tough draw to start with, though. It is a tough draw. I mean, that's what people don't realize. Like, the first two out of the three games they played have been against what are renowned as top six teams, Liverpool right. and Arsenal.
Right.
And Arsenal, their backs were against it at 0-2. Mm-hmm. And fair play to them. Like, you know, people are not going to give them credit, but, you know, they were 0-2 in losses. They probably didn't deserve to lose against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. You could argue that they didn't deserve to lose against Man City. After 25 minutes, they're down against West Ham 1-0, and the crowd kind of stuck with them, you know?
Well, most of the people understand what's happening. They know that
this is a rebuild.
Yeah, they know that we're not here to lift trophies. We're here to get the team better. We're here to figure out the players we don't need. We're here to figure out the players that we do need to play this guy's style and formation. And hopefully by year two or three, we're back in in the talks for Premier League.
Well, I got to be frank, and I know you guys may not want to hear this, but I think Xhaka is a very overrated player. I don't see what he brings to the Arsenal team.
I think he's playing in the wrong position. And you can say that about Ozil as well, because everyone always lazy, he's this, he's that, but he's not a winger. And if you want Ozil to track back, you're watching the wrong player. He's not going to track back.
Yeah, I agree. He's not that.
He's not that guy.
I agree.
If you're going to play him on the wing and have him protect your right back, you're in trouble. He's not that player. Yep. You can't put Ramsey in the number 10. You can't put Mkhitaryan on the wing, and you can't put Ozil on the wing. That's
it. Well, Mkhitaryan, what I would say about Mkhitaryan is he's a good player, but he missed a lot of chances against
Chelsea.
I mean, he finally got one, but he missed about two before that. Now, see, this is the problem. Like, Arsenal has a very talented squad. I love the young right back that they have, or left back that they have. The young guy, you know. Yeah. See, people talk about Arnold from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Niles is better than Arnold. That's my opinion.
You know he's not a right. You know he's not a left back.
Oh, you know, you're a Liverpool fan. Oh, how could you say that that Niles is better than Arnold? Niles is absolutely better both ways up the pitch than Arnold.
But that's my opinion. He's not a defender.
I don't even think. Well, he's a good defender though.
He's a midfielder.
But they're playing him at the back.
They played him at the back because
My opinion is that Arnold isn't as good as Nathaniel Klein. That's my opinion. Overall, Nathaniel Klein's a better player.
More experience.
I don't think Arnold will be there in 4 years at Liverpool, but maybe I'll prove to be wrong. Wow. Joe Gomez has been great at center back.
Yeah.
But to my point, I think Niles is one for the he looks like an Ashley Cole type prospect, in my opinion.
Okay.
He's our future, Logan.
Yeah, I think he looked very, very good last season in the Premiership. Looked like a boy that could play.
Yeah.
I've been very, very impressed with Guendouzi.
Yeah.
He's looked great. I think he really looks good. Now, I'm saying all these nice things about Arsenal. I don't expect you guys to say these nice things about Liverpool because I'm more objective than you guys. But I know that Arsenal fans are also crying out for Lacazette and Aubameyang to play together.
And tell me why
I don't know. I think it's something that you're probably right about.
They have to change the formation in order to do that, but we're stuck with 80,000 midfielders that we need to play a formation that we can get them all in the game.
I think you gotta get a guy like Lacazette and Aubameyang on the same pitch, and then I think you gotta bring in a guy like Welbeck because Welbeck scores big goals, and he's a guy that deserves 20 minutes to sub one of those guys out.
Sure.
At the end of the game.
Okay.
In my opinion,
that's fine. But the Arsenal fans are crying out, and Fred will agree with this: is you play your best 11, don't you?
That's it. That's the name of the game, you know.
Who's the best 11 for Arsenal?
Okay, and you want to take this, Fred, or you want me to?
No, go ahead.
Net, Leno. If Leno's in the net, that first goal doesn't go in yesterday, guaranteed. Okay, you can start. Okay. You have Kolasinac on the left. I love Kolasinac. He's hurt right now, but you have him on the left.
I think that Monreal and Bellerin, who I dislike, are your starting left and right backs.
No, I don't think so. I put Bellerin on the right side. I put Kolasinac on the left side. I've got Socrates and Koscielny in the middle. Okay.
Okay.
Got Torreira in front of them.
Okay.
What are we gonna play? We play 4-4-2. Fred?
Yeah.
I'll play 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Ozil doesn't play. I have Mkhitaryan playing the 10.
Okay.
I might even have Welbeck on the right hand side of the midfield.
Okay.
I have Ainsley Niles playing where he should play on the left hand side. And then I have my two strikers. And Ramsey doesn't see the pitch.
Wow. Okay, and you think that's your best 11?
That's the best 11.
Leaving Ramsey, Ozil, Monreal,
yes.
Xhaka.
We've decided that he doesn't deserve to play. Yes, but Ozil hasn't played.
Iwobi. Yeah, but like you're leaving a lot of big names out of the squad.
Those are big names at Arsenal. They're not big names anywhere else. And Ozil has been playing the same way for the last what? How long has he been here? 4 years.
So this is my opinion on what you've just proposed.
Okay.
My opinion would be this.
Okay.
I think it's not the best 11.
It is. It is based on. It is based.
No. Wait. Let me finish. I'm saying it's not the best 11, but I actually like it because it challenges the status quo, which mm-hmm. isn't working at Arsenal.
Right.
And so, therefore, you could be right that this might actually be the best 11 for that team. So I give you kudos for that.
All I want my wing midfielders to do is protect my right and left back. That's it. Once they get protection, it's fine. We're always complaining about these long balls going forward and our left and right backs getting caught up the field because they're always getting caught up the field because our wing backs don't do anything. Our left and right midfielders don't do anything.
They don't support them.
They don't support them. They cut into the middle. They get caught in the middle, and now I have Bellerin one on one with Kyle Walker.
So I gotta be frank. I don't like Bellerin or Monreal. I don't rate them.
I don't rate them.
Rate Bellerin. You know, but you didn't even put him in your top 11.
I did.
Bellerin.
I don't have Monreal. Monreal pops up with goals. Okay. That's fine. But I like Kolasinac better than Monreal.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the question. Where do you think Arsenal's going to finish in this season's premiership? What part of the table?
Seventh.
Wow.
And I would agree with that.
Seventh.
I didn't think.
I'll be surprised if they finish ahead of Everton.
I don't think it'll be that low, but I think they finish the same place they finished this last year.
Six?
Yep. That's what I think is going to happen. They'll stay where they are.
There's a lot of like Logan said, there's a lot of games left and there's a lot of good teams. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But I mean those tricky ties to Stoke are finished because they're not in it, but we still you go to Watford, you go to Bournemouth
cold afternoon,
on a Saturday. We'll see what happens.
Well, the other team that's not doing well right now is Burnley, who qualified for Europe last year. Yeah. So yeah. You know, Burnley's going to turn it around. You've seen Brighton Hove Albion beat Manchester United.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that Manchester United were very, very lucky in the first game of the season to squeak out a 2-1 win.
But what do you think's going wrong with United?
Yeah, it's the coach.
Well, I think I mean you can say it's the coach, but the coach can't win. You know, if he tries to mollycoddle these players, you know, then he's being, you know, he can't win. I think that, you know, he's tried to bring Paul Pogba on side, given him the captaincy. I think Paul Pogba is a disgrace. He would never be my captain.
He just won the World Cup.
I don't care. He won it with a squad. He was terrible. Well, listen. He's been terrible in both games for United. He looks like he's a guy that wants to get to Barcelona. And he was absolutely shocking in the last game against Brighton Hove.
We talked about this after one of our games that we played. What position is he playing at United?
Nobody knows.
He's not a defensive midfielder. He should be.
I think he's been given a lot of freedom. I think he's been given a lot of freedom at United.
But he should be further up the pitch than he is. And I think that's where he's most effective. Start playing these guys in the right spot, and they will flourish. A la Xhaka.
Fair enough, but I got to be frank. You know, I don't care where you're playing in a team. If you can't make a 5-yard pass, that's a problem.
We know he can, though, right?
You know, you could look back at the tape against Brighton Hove Albion. Like, the guy's missing passes all over the place, Rich. And he would have said it himself. I think he did come out and say that he didn't play well enough.
No, he said they were in focus on the...
I can't believe that I've seen a United team, even under Mourinho. You know, you couldn't pick out a man of the match in that game. They looked terrible. They looked terrible.
So it's not the coaches, it's the players.
I think it's the players. I don't think it's down to Mourinho. Okay. Whether Mourinho, I think that, you know, Mourinho's a good bet to be sacked.
First sacked?
Might be the first sack in this particular premiership. You know, it's a big game tomorrow against Tottenham. Mm-hmm. I fancy a draw, but
I'd love to see that.
If it's not a win if it's a loss, then Mourinho is going to be on thin ice.
Third game in.
Yeah, I have him gone by Christmas time.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I think what you see from Mourinho is a man that's actually trying to get fired. I mean,
and some of the comments he's making, you know, they're not letting me buy, and managers now have to become head coaches.
I think that Mourinho was right. Yes, unnecessary comments and sort of his MO in trying to sour things before he leaves in other jobs that he's at. I think Mourinho was the right guy for this job when Ferguson retired, and he wanted it at that time. And I don't think Ferguson wanted to give him the keys to the kingdom where Mourinho would have won trophies. And I don't think Ferguson wanted that from an ego point of view. Yeah. He wanted somebody that was going to work for it. I don't think he wanted to give that to Mourinho. Mourinho's very smart and shrewd where he goes in terms of winning trophies. He's not going to go somewhere where he can't win. Same as Ronaldo. Look at Ronaldo as a player. He's not going to go somewhere where he can't win. Reg, I agree with you. Pep Guardiola is the same. He's not going to go somewhere where he's not guaranteed at least one trophy. Mm-hmm. Why should he take the risk in building a team? Why don't I inherit a team that's on the cusp, make a few tweaks, and I've got a billion-dollar budget to buy whoever I want anyway.
Exactly.
So, like, these guys have been very smart and shrewd in the modern coaching market about who they take over.
Yeah, but I think they've won enough in their past that they can actually kind of, for lack of a better term, pick and choose who they want to coach, right? And we shouldn't have.
Well,
any
I think Mourinho did. I think Mourinho proved that he can coach anybody when he took Porto. He won the UEFA Cup. He took Porto the following season, won the Champions League, went to Chelsea, built the Chelsea team that is arguably the best Premiership team that's ever been ever played.
Hey, wait a minute!
No! But wait, like in fair dues to him, in 2005 and 2006, Chelsea were the best team. Some say they were the best Premiership team ever.
Oh yeah, the year after the best team in the Premier League ever.
Yeah, I mean that's the year debatable. After. I mean you have the Invincibles of Arsenal. You have the 99 United team. You have this year's past Man City team. Those are all things that for debate. What I'm getting at is Mourinho has kind of delivered wherever he's went. He's even won trophies at United. Has he been perfect for United? I don't know if his brand of football would ever fit in where United is. And what I would say about Mourinho is now at this stage of his career where he's proved everything he needs to prove, he's won everywhere that he is, does he have the same passion for winning that he once had? And what I see of Mourinho is that he doesn't. And I don't think he can relate to these modern players. You know, I don't think he's the guy like Klopp that'll hug every single player as they're coming off the pitch. Just doesn't have that in his DNA. Mourinho's a guy that's, you know, if you don't buy into his philosophy, he has no trust for you and you're out the door.
That's it.
And I just don't think he's able to handle these modern players. I mean, I think Pep Guardiola has more of the, I'm going to hug a guy or try and build a guy. And Mourinho, I don't think he has that. I think if he doesn't trust you, you're out. And that's been part of the problem with him and Pogba.
Yeah, I agree, Logan. I agree.
So how's our friend Alexis doing there?
He's injured.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's injured.
I always like to keep tabs on the former guys that leave.
Well, he's really been disappointing since he's...
You know what? And you guys can call me crazy, but he wasn't exactly the best player at Arsenal either. Looking back, was he?
Well, he was very good. I think that...
One of the things
that would have worked out for Liverpool is if he would have made a better decision not to go to Arsenal... But to go to Liverpool as the replacement for Suarez. Yeah. And that's the way I feel about that. Now, I could be wrong, but
I think you did okay with picking up Firmino. I think you did okay, bud.
did okay, but I think Brendan Rodgers really wanted Sanchez. Yeah. Now, Brendan Rodgers is in a world of hurt right now at Celtic. They didn't qualify for the Champions League. They're struggling in the league.
Shocking.
I mean, they only won 1-0 midweek in their Europa League. They only won 1-0 today against Hamilton, even though they had like 20 shots on net to Hamilton's two. And they've got a whole controversy with Dedryck Boyata, where Celtic fans today held up a banner that says he's not fit to wear the jersey, and he scored the winning goal against Hamilton. And of course, this is all on the back of a spicy Old Firm match this coming weekend with, of course, Stevie G's Rangers, who blew a 90th minute lead today and tied 3-3. But, however, are only, I think, 1 point behind Celtic in the league. So I think it's all to do for Brendan Rodgers, who's had a – I think Brendan Rodgers is an overrated manager. He's done well in Scotland where there's been no competition. No competition. Now that there is competition,
Coach Celtic.
I agree. I think that all three of us would have done would have won just as many trophies.
I think so.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think he. I mean, fair. Like the only thing I would say is he did go through a season being undefeated, which is a difficult thing to do. But I mean, if you're not playing against a good team.
Falkirk, who are they?
You know,
Goldie's a plumber.
I completely agree. I just wanted to give a little plug to the Scottish fans out there because you know we got a Celtic versus Rangers match coming up this weekend,
which will be
the biggest Old Firm derby match in a while. With Stevie G and Rangers, who look like a more finished product than they have in the last few years. Yes. So we'll see what that match brings.
I know you're watching that just so you can see two former Liverpool legends go at it, right? Brendan Rodgers and Stevie G, right?
I think that Brendan Rodgers will be out the door of Celtic in the next few months.
Really?
I think that there's two managers that Manchester United would consider at this point to take over for Mourinho.
You think bringing Brendan Rodgers back to the EPL on Man United?
I think it's a possibility. Oh. I don't think it's the craziest thing. Wow. So this is what I would say. I think there's two managers that Man United would consider.
Yeah.
One would be Zinedine Zidane, probably the first choice.
Okay.
I actually think that Brendan Rodgers would be somebody that would consider. And this is for two reasons. A, he's won trophies, albeit in Scotland with no competition.
Yeah.
But what I would say is his teams do play attractive football. And in the last 5 years since Alex Ferguson retired, you've had three managers at United, David Moyes, Louis van Gaal, and Jose Mourinho, who do not play an attacking brand of football.
Nope.
And I think at the end of the day, Manchester United fans, although they want to win, I think that's the most important thing for fans there. They also want to see attacking football. And I think I don't rate Brendan Rodgers as a manager. I think that he should have won the title. I think he was lucky given the squad that Kenny Dalglish gave him to be in that position. But what I would say is I think he does play a good brand of football and his teams do knock the ball around in a good way, and he does try and play that particular brand that would be suitable at a Manchester United. Whether or not United would be able to bring in a former Liverpool manager would be the biggest question. Now his odds did go down from while I was in Britain from 22-1 to 20-1, and continue to shrink. And I did get in a bet at 22-1 where the girl taking the bet did give me a cheeky smile when I did say it. And I won't tell you what I put on that particular bet. Don't bet out there, kids. I just think that there is a possibility. I think it would be Zinedine Zidane. I don't think there's a lot of other guys out there that it could be.
I don't think Zinedine takes that job. It's
really
it. I think it's a project. I don't think he's up for it. It's one thing to take over Real Madrid. It's another thing to take over Manchester United.
Yeah.
With the limited budget that he has, you have the best player in the world on your team. It's at Real Madrid.
Also, he's got three Champions League. So,
yeah, I think
can pick what he chooses. I think he's more likely to end up at Paris Saint Germain.
Yeah, probably. I can see him there. French speaking, he's got a good squad. I can see him there where he doesn't have to. He's gonna win everything his first year there. I think coming over to United, like I said, it's a project. I don't think he's up for it. And I think he saw the writing on the wall with Ronaldo leaving for Juventus, and that's why he left before.
Yeah.
Before
Reg, you're making me feel much better about that Brendan Rodgers bet I put on Paddy Power.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Okay. All right. So I know we're getting close to the end of the podcast, this week's episode. Time flies. But let's talk a little bit about Ronaldo. He shocked me for sure, because I had a friend of mine was in Spain at the time, and they sent me a note, and I was just like, Ronaldo to Juventus, yeah, okay, whatever. And I just put my phone down,
I'm a bit shocked myself. I think that this transfer probably found its roots in the hat trick that Ronaldo scored against Juventus. Mm-hmm. And then the fans started applauding him. And mm-hmm. I think that was the seeds that said, you know what, maybe this wouldn't be the worst destination for me. The fans immediately have a love-in, which we know that the Real Madrid fans never really took to Ronaldo in certain ways. Mm-hmm. I think that they were very lucky to win their third Champions League. I think that, you know, it would have been a different game if Mo Salah had been healthy. Mm-hmm. Would have been a different game if Liverpool had a proper keeper.
most definitely.
So I think they were very lucky to win that European Cup in some ways. Having said that, though, I think from a Ronaldo point of view, it's actually a smart bit of business in the sense that, well, I have two feelings about it. It's a smart bit of business in the fact that you've probably got a good chance of enhancing your resume, saying that you've won in England, Spain and Italy.
Right.
Okay, you've taken the chance that Messi's never taken to go to other countries.
And that's why I don't rate him.
And you're that's why I think it's a smart move by Ronaldo in the sense that you're guaranteed Champions League football. You're pretty much guaranteed another Serie A title.
Yep. Yep.
You're guaranteed if you deliver any type of goods that you're a legend in the sense that you know you've brought. Thing. You've only got upwards to go in the Champions League because Juventus have a poor record of actually winning the tournament.
Right.
So if you are able to deliver in any way, if Ronaldo was able to win a sixth European Cup, I think he would cement himself. So there's only really upside for Ronaldo. The one thing I would say where it's a dangerous move for him, and we've seen this in the first two games, is he hasn't been able to score. And, you know, we know that the Italian league is a much, much tougher place to score for certain players.
Yeah.
Now, I watched the first game that he played in. I watched a bit of the game he played on the weekend against Lazio. Now, there's flashes of brilliance from him, and he was unlucky not to score in the first game. But that's two games where he doesn't score.
Right.
Now, in Spain, I think, you know, I don't remember too many back-to-back games where Ronaldo hadn't scored yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So this dream move could become a nightmare for him
if he doesn't
start putting the ball in the net.
Yeah. I think he works it out though.
Yeah.
The best player in the world.
I agree. I agree, and I think the good thing is it's brought a lot of attention back to the Italian league.
Yep.
I gotta say that I love watching TLN now with English commentators, and you know, whereas Italian soccer used to be right after the Premiership and would be game for a good nap, I don't mind tuning into it now.
Yeah, I used to rip Serie A too. I guess I have to start watching it again.
Yeah, now they have something to watch for, I guess, and something to look at on a weekly basis. So
I think all the teams got better. Yeah. All the major teams got better. Juve got better. Inter got better.
Yep.
AC
Well, the great game from the weekend was AC Milan. I believe they had a 2-0 win, and you know, our compatriot Joe wasn't Joe? Able to be here tonight. Yeah. You know, maybe he ducked because AC Milan gave up a 2-0 lead and lost 3-2 3-2 to Napoli. He just didn't want to show up. That's it wouldn't surprise me. You know, he's still in mourning. Probably having some grappa or limoncella somewhere. He didn't want to come on the show. But you know, I watched a bit of that game. I will say that the atmosphere in Naples was fantastic. Yeah. I would say that the jersey that Napoli wears, these Kappa jerseys, are absolutely fantastic as well. Makes me wonder if I put in an outdoor team next year to have those, you know, type of jerseys. They're absolutely beautiful. And they also knock the ball around well. And it seems like, you know, they lost Sarri to Chelsea, but they're not missing a beat at this point.
Well, if you don't change the players and you don't bring in a different coach, or maybe you just appoint the assistant to be the manager, the theory and the formation and the strategy and the tactics, they don't really change that much. So you're still playing the same.
Yep.
So I think who did they lose? Jorginho and the coach, pretty much, and Higuain, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you lose a playmaker. Did they bring anybody else in? I'm not even sure. Well, that's a question.
I don't follow Italian soccer as much. That's probably more of a
that's a Joe question.
Yeah, definitely. But you're right, Reg. That you know, at the end of the day, the Italian league right now, you know, Juventus and Napoli are at the top of the table. There's one other team that's SPAL, whoever they are.
Sassuolo? No. Who is SPAL?
Yeah.
Is it Sassuolo?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
I don't think so. I mean, we got three guys that aren't Italian discussing Italian football, but they're the other team that's 3-0 or 2-0. So, you know, like...
So they're the Watford of Serie A.
Well, that's what I mean. I think that it's going to come down to Juventus. And Sassuolo's 1-1. So, and Udinese's 1-1. And, you know, you got Roma and Genoa. They're each undefeated. I think they play tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or a couple of teams play tomorrow. AC Milan's only lost one game, which happened to be the game where they blew the 2-goal lead. So, you know, like every league, it's early days, and we talked about this at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that we can't speculate. It doesn't mean that some of our predictions are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we're going to have to see the games, and we're going to have to sit back and enjoy watching them.
Well, I'm glad the season started off the back of a great World Cup. It looks like it's going to be a great EPL season. It looks like it's actually going to be pretty exciting in the Serie A as well. La Liga will probably be the same as it was last year.
I have to hand it to you and Freddie for being in such a good mood. I mean, your team looks terrible, but you guys are still optimistic. You're being jovial. You're being upbeat.
We're rational Arsenal fans. We know where we are,
Logan. That's the thing, right? Like, it's funny. I was just.
I've been to the Emirates a few times, and I gotta say that Reggie and Fred, you guys are probably the most realistic Arsenal fans I've ever met.
No, you have to be realistic, because you know I was just talking to a coworker on Friday. You know, he's like, "Oh, you guys are 2-0 or whatever," and the comment came like, "You know, if Wenger was there, probably would have been 1-1 at the time." I said, "Well, you're probably right, but." Right now we're starting something new. You know what I mean? It's a new era, like everybody says, and so you can't be gung-ho about the whole thing, saying, "Oh, I'm going to, like, our team is going to do this, do that." Like, you have to be realistic. You know what I mean? It's a new era.
Well, I
got to
be frank. I mean, there has been times over the course of the three games when I've looked at your manager on the bench, and he basically wishes he wasn't there.
No, never. No. He's probably looking at Ozil saying, "What the hell is this guy doing?"
Yeah,
that's what he's probably.
Well, he had an alleged illness this weekend. So
he trained on Thursday, and then he got sick on Friday, right? Yep. Yeah, okay. I know what that one is.
No,
Emery got sick and tired of him. That's what it was. Trust me, because he doesn't do anything on the field.
He's not doing what the coach is asking him to do. That's the problem. You know,
I would agree with that speculation, Rich.
That's the problem. Like, as a player, and it's funny. Like, who sent us that thing with the Gary Neville and Carragher going at it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was like a fair assessment between the two of them.
And I hate Gary Neville.
I know, right? It was so right. Like, you know, as a coach, you go in there with your plans and ideas. You don't need to bow to the players. You know, as much power as these players have nowadays, you still have to stick to your guns and tell them, look, this is what I'm coming to do, you know, and if it's not going well, don't deviate from the plan and say, oh, okay, let's try it. No, then it gets people confused. And so I like how this guy is sticking it out. All I'm saying is play the guys that you sign and let's see what happens. Because right now, to me, it's like the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to be frank. The first guy that needs to be dropped is Xhaka.
Yeah,
no, I agree.
100 Arsenal fans will say that. 100 out of 100 will say that.
He should be coming off the bench.
I don't even know about that.
The other thing I would say is to all the fans out there, and you guys would enjoy this as well, there's a good little clip of Michael Owen
talking about that today.
Yeah. So it's really good about, you know, he retired at 33, but how he was actually yearning for retirement at that stage of his career. And it's Reg, you're kind of backing me up here, which I feel solid about, but it's actually worth to watch for sure. any football fan.
For sure. Well, he started at 18, right? So to retire at 33, it's a long ass time.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, but like Reg, I turned 40 this week and I scored a great goal. So I kind of and I feel like Owen kind of got robbed and didn't get a fair shake. You know, you look at his goal scoring record wherever he went. He's pretty much scoring once every two games, and some of those times were coming off the bench.
Yeah. Wow. Well, happy belated birthday then, I guess, eh?
Thanks, Reg. I really appreciate that. Yeah. You know, you can buy me a beer.
Yeah. I'll buy you one tomorrow. I'll buy you one tomorrow with the cooler.
Right out of the cooler. you've got short arms and deep pockets.
That's it, buddy. That's it, buddy. Well, guys, another fantastic beginning to our podcasting season. I know we're one guy short, but I think it was great tonight.
Yeah, it was.
We've got Paulo Di Nicola. We got to give a shout out to him as one of our fans. Okay. He won the over 35 Ontario Cup tonight.
Oh, did he?
So he did. I don't know if he saw the field, but he did play yesterday in the semifinal.
GS?
He may have played tonight, but I don't know if it's GS. No, I know that GS. Dwayne Di Rosario and Rohan Ricketts are in the squad, so it's quite a good team.
Oh, wow.
So congratulations to Paulo on his first provincial championship. I'm going to give a shout out to my cousin in Ireland.
Yes.
He used to be in the youth squad for Celtic. He'd be all pumped up for the Celtic versus Rangers match on Saturday. And we know our dear friend Brian Campbell from the Dons, Reg. Yes, he's going over to Scotland. He'll be at the Old Firm match this week. So I'm sure he'll be having a few beverages.
No, not Brian.
Nah, a few apple juices, about, maybe.
Apple juice and some of those apple slices, yeah. Yeah, so Fred, anything?
No, just looking forward to the season and, you know, getting stuck into it and doing some good shows.
We're going to have a lot to talk about.
Fred, I got to tell you, you know, it's been you and Reggie against me tonight, two Arsenal fans. Reg, there's always room for you on the Liverpool side of on the Liverpool side of things. Come to a winner, Fred. Please. Come on.
No.
We support the team that had the greatest season in football history. Never mind just the EPL. Greatest season in football history, but you remember that too. So,
well, don't forget that Celtic were undefeated too. Rich.
Anyways, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
Awesome.